Chapter 26. Michael stopped in his tracks when he saw the gaping hole Tiny the Gruff had left in the east wall of Union Station. "Merciful God," he breathed. "Harry, what happened?"
"Little problem," I said.
"You didn't say anything to me."
"You look busy," I told him.
"And you already had a couple of 100 bad guys to handle."
I nodded at the hole.
"I only had the one." Michael shook his head bemusedly, and I saw Lucio look at the hole with something like mild alarm.
"Did you get it?" Michael asked.
Lucio cocked her head at Michael when he spoke, and then looked sharply at me. I gave Michael a level look and said,
"Obviously."
Then I turned on my heel and whistled sharply.
"Mouse!"
My dog, soggy but still enthusiastic, came bounding toward us over the water-coated marble floors. He slid to a stop, throwing up a little wave that splashed over my feet as he did. The archive peered intently at Mouse as he arrived and took a step toward him, but was prevented from going further by Kincaid's hand, which came to rest on her slender shoulder. Michael frowned at the girl and then at the dog.
"This," he said, "brings up a problem."
There was only so much room in the cab of Michael's truck. All of us were soaking wet, and there was no time to get dry before the authorities arrived. I didn't think it completely fair that I got a number of less than friendly looks on the walk to the garage after I explained that it had been me who set off the sprinkler system, but at least no one could claim that I hadn't been willing to suffer the consequences right along with them. The archive might have been a creepy Billy Mummy in Twilight Zone kind of kid, but she was still a child. By general acclamation, she was in the cab. Michael had to drive.
"I'm not letting her sit there alone," Kincaid stated.
"Oh, come on," I said. "He's a Knight of the freaking Cross. He isn't gonna hurt her."
"Irrelevant," Kincaid said.
"What about when someone starts shooting at her on the way there? Is he going to throw his body in front of her to keep her from harm?"
"I," Michael began.
"You're damned right he will," I growled.
"Harry," Michael said, his tone placating, "I'd be glad to protect the child. But it would be somewhat problematic to do that and drive at the same time."
Mouse let out a low, distressed sound, which drew my attention to the fact that the archive had fallen uncharacteristically silent. She was standing beside Kincaid, shuddering, her eyes rolling back in her head.
"Damn it," I said. "Get her into the truck. Go, Kincaid, Michael."
Kincaid scooped her up at once, and he and Michael got into the cab of the truck.
"Is your house far from here, Warden?"
Lucio asked me. She didn't look good.
Well, she looked good given the circumstances, but she also looked soaked and half-frozen already, kneeling to hug Mouse, ostensibly rubbing his fur to help dry it and fluff it out.
I'd seen Lucio in action as captain of the Wardens of the White Council, and I'd formed my opinion of her accordingly. When I looked at the woman who'd faced Kemmler's disciples without batting an eye, whom I'd once seen stand in the open under fire from automatic weapons to protect the apprentices under her care, I tended to forget that she was about 5'4" and might have checked in at 130 or 40 pounds, soaking wet. Which she was, in the middle of a blizzard.
"It isn't far," I said.
Then I went up to the door beside Kincaid and said, "Put the kid on your lap."
"She wears a seatbelt," Kincaid said. "She's in danger enough from exposure already."
"Lucio doesn't weigh much more than Ivy does," I said in a flat tone. "She's in almost as much danger as the kid. So you're holding Ivy on your lap and letting my captain ride in the cab like a gentleman." Kincaid gave me a level look, his pale eyes cold.
"Or what?"
"I'm armed," I said. "You're not." He looked at me levelly, then at my hands. One of them was in my coat pocket. Then he said,
"You think I believe that you'd kill me?"
"If you try to make me choose between you and Lucio," I said with a brittle smile, "I'm pretty sure whom I'm going to bid aloha."
His teeth flashed in a sudden wolfish smile, and he moved over, drawing the freezing child onto his lap. By the time I got back to Lucio, she was upright only because Mouse sat placidly in the cold, supporting her. She mumbled some kind of protest in a faint, commanding tone, but since she said it in Italian, I declared her brain frozen and assumed command of the local warden detachment, which was handy since it consisted only of me anyway. I bundled her into the truck's cab and got her buckled in beside Kincaid. He helped with it. My fingers were too cold and stiff to manage very quickly.